Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. All right, finals are officially over for everyone, and I hope it all went as planned. If not, I hope that doesn't ruin your whole mood for the summer. Summer's coming up. I hope everyone has some sort of plan of what they want to do during the summer, whether it's just resting up and just staying home or going on some trips. The weather's getting better. It was very hot on the weekend. It is a bit chilly today, but I believe it's going to get much better throughout the week. All right, today's episode, I will be talking about, a couple of my favorite movies that starred Robin Williams, RIP. He was actually my favorite comedic actor, and I really enjoyed his movies. I didn't really watch a lot of his stand-ups, but I did watch quite a bit of his movies, and I will be discussing some of my favorite movies from Robin Williams. But before we do that, I will put on some ads and some PSAs, and I will see you right back. Here we go.
Discover Noreen Braun's album, Songs for Trees, dedicated to the forest and the spirits within the trees. As we fight climate change, trees are the lungs of the planet and we need to help them. Her jazz and blues are blended with rock and synthesized pop elements to create a textured and ambient soundtrack to nature. Songs for Trees is a narrative, with each song guiding us through a journey through the forest. A trip, literally and metaphorically, about the interconnectedness of all things. The Vancouver Sun names it one of five albums you need to hear. Find out more at noreenbraun.com.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who experience sexual assault, intimate partner violence, and harassment. We provide services to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty, and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical, and campus-related advocacy, and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3130. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssasc.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
Are you interested in conversations about intersectionality? Listen to Intersections, presented by CITR 101.9 FM's Intersectionality Collective, a show where we tackle a range of topics that impact gender, race, sexuality, and social justice, like anti-fat bias, understanding microaggressions, and racism in the food industry. Tune into Intersections bi-weekly on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Each episode will feature either a panel discussion from the members of the Intersectionality Collective or an expert on that week's topic. So tune in and also check out our episode archive on CITR.ca/intersections.
All right, we're back. Once again, my name is Jeff, for whoever just tuned in, and welcome to Lean In with Jeff. I usually talk about movies, a little bit of poetry, some movie scripts, maybe some play scripts. I have yet to do any play scripts, but I have done a poem and talked about movie, like, slash show. I mean, it's a show, but I guess it falls under that area. I talked about some quotes from my favorite show currently, Suits, and it's streaming on Netflix, so whoever wants to check it out, feel free to do so. Before we get into the meaty portion of my show, I also want to mention that our 85th anniversary at CITR has begun. And we have so many events that are coming up, so please stay tuned. All the events and details will be on Instagram, so follow and, you know, catch up. We just finished our 85th anniversary kickoff show at Redgate on Friday, the 28th of April, and it was absolutely amazing. It turned out, you know, fantastic. There were so many people that showed up. Amazing bands played. So, you know, come on. I think we have another event on May 12th where there will be some drag shows, I believe. But again, all the details are on Instagram. And please, please come. It's really fun. You get to meet a lot of people. Some, you know, if you like listening to songs and bands, this is the perfect event. All right, let's get into Mr. Williams's movies. I guess I want to start off by mentioning, you know, this movie that probably everyone knows. If not, I highly recommend it. It's a pretty good, it's actually an amazing movie. It's a fantasy genre movie called Night at the Museum. And there are three movies. Night at the Museum is the first one. I believe the second one is Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. And the last one is Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. All of them are very, very nice. Robin Williams doesn't, I guess he does, but also doesn't really come out in the movies that often, since he's not like a main character. I guess he does come out much more in the last episode. But I believe in the first and second one, he doesn't really come out that much. But he does play a very impactful role. I think he comes out as Theodore Roosevelt. And basically, you know, for those of you who don't know this movie, it's about Ben Stiller, who plays a security guard at a special or magical museum, where at night all the artifacts and all the statues in the museum come alive. And that is possible because of this palette. But I forgot what it was, but it's like this golden palette. And, you know, out of all those artifacts and statues, Theodore Roosevelt is played by Robin Williams. And I feel like in the first episode, he kind of portrays this sense of mentorship towards Ben Stiller and how he's going to tackle the first problem, which is, you know, by the way, I will be spoiling the movies, and that is usually what I do in my show. I feel like it's very difficult to not spoil the movie and discuss about it, so apologies in advance. And if anyone wants to tune in and comment on either any of the movies that I am talking about or just anything in general, please contact or dial 604-822-2487 and you will be live on radio with me. All right. So yes, Ben Stiller plays the main character, who is a security guard at this magical museum, and his first problem that he has to tackle is bringing in all these artifacts back into the museum, because what happens is when they basically are exposed to daylight, they disappear. They just turn into dust. And what happened during the night was one of the doors were open in the museum and off they went. I believe that's the first problem. That's what I remember. I haven't watched these movies in a while, but that is what I remember so far. But yes, Night of the Museum is a very, very good movie. I feel like although Robin Williams wasn't kind of exposed in the movie as much, I think he still played a very critical role as like a mentor and kind of almost like a teacher to Ben Stiller. And he kind of instilled like this more mature mindset towards Ben Stiller while he was kind of in this journey of taking care of these artifacts in the museum. And I think it's just this movie is almost like Spiderwick, the movie that we discussed last week, like this fantasy kind of genre, but they're all played. There's no like animation. I mean, I guess there is since there are animals and stuff, but you know, these characters are pretty, they're played by, you know, real people, you know, they're like physical, you know, they're alive. So it's very cool to see that. And then once they turn into statues, I was always amazed by how realistic the statues were made and, you know, the facial structure and how the specifics and details that they put into these artifacts. But yes, that was the first movie that I really, really enjoyed watching. I've watched this when I was very young. I think most kids did. I think the first movie was out in 2006, which is when I was 3. So yeah, I probably watched this when I was, I don't know, 7 or something like that. All right. The second movie is called Jack. And Jack, I think, is my favorite movie in terms of comedic aspects. Just because, as I mentioned, I also love watching Adam Sandler movies because I think it's just so funny how, you know, these adults play these young characters like really like kids. And it's just so funny to me to see how, you know, like this like weird comparison of like, oh, you know, an adult is playing like this kid and the way he's acting is just so accurate that it's just so funny. And that's exactly with the movie Jack. Jack is a movie where Robin Williams is the protagonist, the main character of the movie, where he plays, you know, a normal kid named Jack Powell. But he has a condition where he ages 4 times faster than a normal human, which means once he's like in elementary school, he's basically a full-grown adult. And through this condition, he experiences some problems where he can't fit in to the kids in school, and sometimes he can't do certain activities that normal kids do because of his condition. And it's about this battle against his issue, I guess, or problem that he was born with. And this is like a comedy slash drama. It only says drama, but I think there's a lot of comedy to it. And I think the comedy was put out very well because it was just, you know, Robin Williams, who's Jack in the movie, just being a kid. But it just seems a bit funny because he's just like a grown man with like, you know, arm hair and like chest hair. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a very sweet movie to see. I think, you know, it's appropriate for younger kids to see it. You know, the theme of like acceptance towards oneself, and I guess removing like these norms and standards that, you know, we have in our world. And I think through this movie you can learn a lot about, you know, how to treat people, and kind of understand that everyone has a story behind them and not everyone wants to share it. So don't judge them for how they act. But, you know, I think it's a very good movie to watch. Robin Williams plays it so well. I could clearly see the difference in both actions and words that he uses as he grows up in the movie. And it's just so cool to see how well he consumed this role with each age that he was experiencing. So I recommend this movie to anyone who likes a little bit of comedy, a little bit of like life lessons. And it came out in 1996. So it's a fairly old movie, I guess, in the 90s. But it's very, very good. So I recommend this. All right, moving on. The next movie that I want to share is called Patch Adams. And I probably watched this movie about 3 or 4 times because that's how good it is. And I think this movie really taught me how having a purpose and remembering why you're doing a certain thing is absolutely crucial. Because basically this movie is about a man named Patch Adams, who is an aspiring doctor. And as he is in medical school, he finds out that, I guess, the whole system of becoming a doctor and the way that he's seeing these doctors in the movie, it's their kind of purpose is to only do their job and not really form any connections with other people. And I guess, I'm not sure how to put it, but I guess it's their objective in the movie, the doctor's objective, was just to focus on how to cure the patients with the tools and sciences that they were exposed to. And I feel like Patch Adams figured out how, although that is important, it's also very important to develop these connections with the patients and, you know, help them feel like they're comfortable and, you know, they have hope and everything like that. And I think help comes, you know, both ways, both, you know, emotionally, but also, you know, physically. So in the movie, Patch kind of reminds everyone why they became a doctor. And it was because it was to help people and kind of make them feel like they have this sense of hope of living. And, you know, it's just that like warm feeling that I guess doctors are supposed to give, yet almost all they care about in the movie is putting on that white coat and just being called a doctor. And I think one of Robin Williams' lines in the movie towards the end in the courtroom was how he said, why, I think the doctor's purpose is not to just delay death, but to improve life's quality. I think it was along the lines of that. But I completely agree with it. I feel like watching the movie, it's kind of leaning more towards how they can just help the patient with what they learned in school, but instead learning how to communicate with people and learning how to form connections is so much, you know, or as much important as all those stuff. And I think, well, Robin Williams comes out in the movie as a person who's fairly older than the most of the students. So then as younger students, they don't quite understand what Patch is doing until as they progress and later on see the patient's improvements and I guess their attitude towards doctors and all that. It's a very good movie. I think there are both comedic aspects to the movie where, you know, Patch is a bit silly. He does take some extreme measures to kind of test out if his theories, I guess, are correct and just to really practicing how to form connections with people. And it's a very good movie to watch. I think everyone should have a chance to watch it. And also, what I found was all these movies that Robin Williams played, he consumed the roles so well, but I also feel like all the roles that he was given were just so perfect for Robin Williams. I don't know. It just feels like he was meant for the role. And it was just absolutely amazing how well he played out each role, because it just felt so real. And I think that's the thing about movies. It has to feel real. It has to feel like that character is that person in real life. And I feel like the more an actor or actress can do that, the more, you know, as an audience, I'm engaged in the movie and can really, you know, appreciate everything else. All right. The next one is called Good Will Hunting. Now, this movie I've watched probably 20 times for real. This was streaming on Netflix. It came out in also in the 90s, 1997. It is a drama movie. And once again, Robin Williams comes out as a protagonist as well, along with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. For most of you guys, I don't know if you guys know this movie. I believe this movie was a very famous movie as well. 97% Rotten Tomatoes. It's very, very good. I love this movie because, first, I always like these movies where the protagonists are kind of geniuses, but they don't really reach their full potential. But the thing is, there's always a person or a mentor that they meet where, you know, they help that genius reach their full potential and help them realize what they have is an absolute gift that not many people, you know, have in the world. A quick summary of the movie is Matt Damon, who plays Will Hunting, he is basically a genius, but is not really reaching his full potential or is doing anything with his mind, because I guess he has like this, he has a lot of problems in his past that also influence the way he's acting. He doesn't really know what he wants to do, which is why he's almost wasting the gift that he has. And it doesn't matter how many people he was reminded about his gift, it just kind of seems like that gift is just something that is part of him and nothing special. But that is when Robin Williams comes as Sean McGuire. He is a psychiatrist who ends up helping Will kind of realize his gift and almost cure his internal problems and, you know, all these like built up emotions that have been in him for years, and almost, you know, helping him scrape off all like the negativity and all the problems that he may have had, and just trying him to open up about his problems and the issues that he had that is contributing to where he's at in life and how he's not moving forward. It's a very good movie. I think the chemistry between Robin Williams and Matt Damon is absolutely amazing, along with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, who are basically like best friends, almost like brothers at this point, because they lived with each other like their whole life in like the same neighborhood. Then they both work construction together. And I really like this movie because the people that Matt Damon is surrounded with are all very, very good people that only want the best for him. And even though Ben Affleck doesn't have the gift and he does, you know, work construction with Matt, he still reminds him how he has a gift. And he says along the lines where towards the end of the movie, if I see you in 50 years doing the same thing, that's like an insult to all of us. Because you have a gift and you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket, but you're too scared to cash it in. And I think that really shows how much Ben Affleck's character loves and truly wants the best for Matt Damon. And just that relationship between them and also Robin Williams, it's just so cool to see. And also, I think it was very cool because Robin Williams comes out as a psychiatrist, but, you know, he doesn't really come out as a person that's trying to help Will. He's genuinely trying to build a relationship with Will and just see where he's coming from and focusing on understanding Will as a person instead of pulling out ways to help Will without having any information about, you know, where he's from and what he's doing and why he's doing it. So I think the approach that Robin Williams brings out as a psychiatrist in the movie is really, really nice. And it's so wholesome to see how the relationship builds up between Matt and Robin. And yeah, as I mentioned, I watched this movie like 20 times. And I believe it's still on Netflix. If not, I guess, you know, there are other sources, I guess, to watch this movie. But it's very, very nice. And also, this movie actually has my favorite monologue scene. And you could search him up. Good Will Hunting, Robin Williams monologue. And probably the scene where they're at this park sitting on a bench and Robin Williams is basically saying like his lines. And that was just a phenomenal, phenomenal monologue. And, you know, it has a couple million views, I believe. And there's a reason for it because it's just so good. All right. Before I get into, I believe, two more movies, I'm going to put up a song from the Beach Boys. Fun fact, a early fun fact, I've never heard of the song, but I like the title and I know the Beach Boys are good. So we'll see how this song turns out. It's called Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. I hope you guys enjoy.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me. Somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
She's by my excitation. Good, 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 good vibration. She's by my excitation.
Okay. Once again, that song was from the Beach Boys called Good Vibrations. All right. Shall we get into the last two movies that are from that Robin Williams starred from that, you know, I really loved. And I think this movie, everyone knows what it is. It is called Miss Doubtfire. Miss Doubtfire is an absolute classic, and it is a family genre slash comedy movie, and you know, it's great. I don't even know anyone who hasn't watched this movie yet. It's just that good. It's just such a classic. And I think this is one of the movies that kind of almost represented Robin Williams. It's like, oh, Robin Williams from Miss Doubtfire. You know, I feel like every actor has that movie where, or actress has that movie where they're just known for that piece. And I think that's just so fascinating because once a movie is created, it's just there forever. And that piece that you're remembered from, it's just going to be part of you for the rest of your life. And it's just, I feel like it's just such a special gem that you could just have, you know, just for you. All right, a quick summary from this movie. It's basically about a guy who has a family. That guy is Robin Williams. He is Daniel Hillard. He is having some trouble with his marriage, but he almost ends up losing his kids. And kind of almost to prove that he is appropriate to kind of take care of his kids, in order for him to be closer with his kids because he is in a custody battle with his wife or his soon-to-be ex-wife, he pretends to be a nanny for them. And that is when the fun starts. Once again, this is a very good movie. I specifically like this movie because of how you can see the character development for Robin and how he's really trying to become a better father, but also through the process, he's understanding what his wife has to go through every day and how tough it is and how much he has been, he hasn't been fully in his wife's life, and that missing, you know, that feeling of emptiness that he's been giving is slowly, I guess, lurking into him. And that realization turns him into, I guess, a more understanding person. And I think, honestly, it doesn't come out in the movie, but I feel like their marriage does have a chance because of Robin Williams' kind of development and his, through the learnings that he's been, you know, getting as a nanny. So it has much of a more deeper meaning than just a person or a father pretending to be a nanny and just working through all these, like, household things and how clumsy he can be. All right. The last movie that I want to discuss about that is one of my favorite is called Jumanji. And I feel like everyone's seen Jumanji. If not, please go see it. It's a very, very good movie. There is the OG, the original version of Jumanji is from 1995, I believe, with Robin Williams in it. And there is another one with The Rock and Kevin Hart and Jack Black. And, you know, both Jumanji movies are phenomenal. I honestly didn't, you know, like, dislike the newer one. I think both of them portrayed a very, very good storyline, and like the graphic and the cinematography and everything was just so good. But Jumanji from Robin Williams is always a classic. It's basically about a magical board game that unleashes like these weird animals and just this adventure or this journey. And, you know, I think this movie is a really good, fun movie to watch with your family because, as I mentioned with Miss Doubtfire, it just has like a deeper meaning than just escaping a board game, you know? Robin Williams basically comes out as a person who was stuck in the game for many, many years, I think over a decade. And he comes out to the real world and discovers that there are two young kids also playing the game. And in order to finish the game, which is the only way to kind of save themselves and kind of escape this horrific adventure, they have to play together. And I think it's a very cool movie because there's one person who's been stuck in the game for a decade, and then there's these two kids who are also dealing with some family problems. And through the game, they kind of become closer, and everything kind of works out through the game. So although the game is acted as an antagonist in the movie, it almost helps everyone realize what's important in life and kind of almost forms like this relationship between both themselves and with each other. Now, the fun thing about this movie that I wish that they changed, I guess, but also I feel like because they didn't change it, it's also good, is that those two kids end up not remembering who Robin Williams and, you know, this other his friend is later on, which is pretty cool, but also very weird. But anyways, those were the movies that I chose that starred Robin Williams, and they are my favorite. And I think everyone should have a chance to watch Robin Williams' movie because it's very, very good, very comedic, and it's just it always ends with kind of a good vibe, or at least all the movies that I've watched. And I think I strive to watch movies that give you a good feeling after you watch them because, you know, you're investing like an hour or 2 hours of your life into this one piece of art. And I think sometimes, you know, horror movies or like these cliffhangers are good. I just like movies that have happy endings and you can kind of get something out of it. All right. I haven't been doing this for about 2 weeks, so let's get into some fun facts. Today, I'm going to be talking about a specific genre, which is the environment, because first of all, why not? And the weather is getting very, very nice. But the pros, first of all, is that I love the sun, and I think everyone loves the sun. But the con is I have terrible seasonal allergies. So, and I love to go golfing. So that is a bit of a problem. But anyways, let's get into our first one. All right, first one. There are over 3.04 trillion trees on the planet. However, 27,000 of them are chopped down each day to manufacture toilet paper. That is a lot. So this translates to around 9.8 million trees chopped down annually. Yes, we have we have trillions of trees in the world. That's a lot of trees. I don't even know how people counted it, you know? Like, where do you start? I guess they use like a specific tool to do it. All right, let's get through this. 78% of marine mammals die from getting entangled in plastic. Single-use bags and other plastic rubbish dumped in the ocean kill more than 100 million sea animals annually. So please don't do this. Don't litter in the ocean. We don't want to kill these innocent animals. All right, next one. Each year, Americans throw away around 25 billion styrofoam cups, which translates to about 82 cups per person. I haven't used styrofoam cups in a while, and I personally don't like it because it's kind of like, you know, it has like these white like crumbs, I guess, that these, you know, generate, and I just don't like it. Anyways, yes. Okay, number four. Fungi are important organisms in the environment. They transfer nutrients from decomposing wood and leaf litter to aquatic systems, consume fossil fuel spills and release important molecules into the soil. I feel like a lot of gross things that you might think that we have in our world have a very, very crucial role in our society. You know, apparently spiders are very crucial in your household because they catch, like, you know, these insects or these, you know, creatures that may be in your house. And, you know, spiders are basically the heroes that catch them. You know, although they look very weird and I am scared of them. All right, next one. A glass bottle can take more than 1 million years to decompose, or even more if it is in a landfill. A glass bottle manufactured and used 4,000 years ago may still be in the environment. That is... wow. You know what I always wonder, though? Okay, would it be good, right, to use, like, these paper cups, but, you know, you do have to go through all that manufacturing process, which probably generates a lot of pollution in our air? Or would it be better to manufacture glass and just use that one glass for thousands of years? I don't know. What would be better? Maybe I'm just thinking weird. All right, next one. If you walk 1 kilometer along an average U.S. highway, you will see around 14,000 pieces of litter. That, you know what? This is a cool experiment. One, you get to see a lot of litter, which means you can help the environment by picking it up. Two, a kilometer walk is a very decent walk. So you get exercise plus helping the environment. So it's a good volunteer activity. All right, next one. You can recycle paper from trees 6 times. After the 6th time, the paper's fibers become too weak and cannot hold together. That is cool. Yeah, you could recycle paper from trees 6 times. All right. And the next one. An estimated 25% of coral reefs that adorn the world seas have been destroyed beyond repair due to pollution, overfishing, a warming climate, mining coral for construction materials, collecting live corals for aquariums and sea parks, and destructive fishing practices using cyanide and dynamite. I didn't even know if you use dynamite for fishing. Okay, maybe it's called, if it's called destructive fishing practices, I guess dynamite is involved. But anyways, yeah, stop destroying coral reefs, although they look beautiful in aquariums. But yes. All right. Here's our next genre. Environmental protection. Fun facts. All right, here we go. Travel smart. Are these even fun? Yeah, facts. Travel smart. If you can, carpool with your friends, ride a bicycle, take public transport, or walk. This will reduce the number of cars on the road, which in turn reduces the emission of CO2. I think everyone kind of knows this. But I actually recently really wanted a bike because I feel like bikes are super fast. And it's just so much more fun than just walking. All right. Next one. Keep your garden chemical free. Avoid using pesticides and herbicides. These substances kill moths, butterflies, and other pollinating insects, including beetles, ladybirds, and spiders. Fun fact, I recently did a nonfiction assignment about bees extinction. And bees play a crucial role in our world because without bees, we won't have any fruits like watermelons, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, any fruit that you could possibly think of, because those bees are the ones that are responsible for the production of those delicious foods that we all love to eat. So although bees are very, very scary and intimidating sometimes, the best way is to just avoid, you know, killing them because they do play a crucial role. But also, the other day, a wasp was in my house and it took me 30 minutes to shoo it out. And if anyone has a good tip on how to get rid of bees or wasps in the house, please call 604-822-2487 in the station and tell me, because I don't want to waste another 30 minutes. All right, next one. This one is 5 facts about pollution in the air. Wow, this is some dark facts. Anyways, I feel like a lot of environmental facts are very crucial to learn about, so here we go. According to the World Health Organization, it estimates air pollution is responsible for 1 in 8 deaths worldwide. And I believe the deaths are referring to human death. I think that's what it is. And, you know, air pollution is a very, very bad thing that can contribute to death. So yes, try not to pollute the air. Next one. China is the leading producer of carbon dioxide, CO2. Other countries that follow closely behind include the United States, India, Russia, Japan, Germany, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, and Indonesia. Wow, that is a lot. So for anyone who wants to know the specific statistics, China generates 10,000 million tons of CO2. That is a lot of CO2. All right, next one. Each year, 1.2 trillion gallons of industrial waste, untreated sewage, and stormwater are dumped in U.S. water. Fun fact, I heard that you should never, ever go swim in a lake right after a storm, because what happens is through the storm, it floods, right? And all that dirty water would go straight to the lake. I think that's why you don't want to swim in a lake after a storm, because, you know, it's just going to be mixed with these dirty waters. Okay, next one. This is about climate change. Cool. All right. Storms, floods, droughts, hurricanes, forest fires, and heat waves are some of the natural disasters resulting from climate change. Okay. Next one. Climate change encourages the spread of pests that cause public health issues and life-threatening diseases such as Lyme disease, dengue, I don't even know how to pronounce this, and malaria. Okay. The next one. The average sea level is expected to go up by at least 1 foot and 8 feet by mid-century. Since 1880, the sea level has gone up by 9 inches, and the rate is only accelerating. This reminds me, does anybody know the movie Journey 2? I believe that's what it's called, with The Rock. They basically go to this mysterious island, and later on, that whole island is submerged by water. And I wonder, one day, if the Earth is going to be submerged by water, and our world is going to be lived through, or you know, we're going to be living in submarines, or creating this, like, water world. All right, let's move on to the last one. Over the past 5 years, snow cover has drastically decreased, and the rate at which this is happening is expected to increase. Snow is reflective and helps regulate the Earth's internal temperature by reflecting the sun's rays back into space. That is cool. One other thing, I never understood why people wore like those big goggles while they were skiing and snowboarding. That's basically because the sun is reflected by the white snow and you don't want that light directly in your eye. And that is why you wear these big goggles. All right. That is it for today's episode. I hope you guys had a wonderful time. I hope you can get at least a movie or even a fact out of my show for today. And that will be a mission accomplished for me. All right. The weather is getting a bit better today. I hope you guys all go outside, enjoy the air, and I hope to see you guys all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.